This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Thank you so much for the warm introduction, Bershus the Rosh Kollel, Rabbi Rabanowitz, and Bershus the Chashva Kollel members and the community at large. Thank you so much for hosting me. It's truly an honor to be here in a very unique community. The Jews in New York are special, but this is a very special community, and you should be aware of it. It's really, there's a feeling of tremendous aliyah here, even though I'm only here a short amount of time. But the thirst for Torah here is it's palpable. You could feel it in the air. So, b'siyata d'shmaya, we should all continue to grow together. I think it's very appropriate to speak about this topic as sort of the inception of the 9 days. Now we already didn't say tachnon mincha time, which means that tonight already begins a more intense period of avelos, and that is the 9 days. And I think this is a very appropriate subject to speak about in a makom Torah like this. So let's begin with the famous the Gemara at the end of Masechta Soita. The Mishnah describes what will the end of days look like. Like, what are the telltale signs that we know the end is coming? And the Mishnah gives us a whole laundry list of the phenomenon that we will encounter at the end of days. The Gemara says, "Be'ikvos Mashicha," as Mashiach, as we hear the footsteps of Mashiach, the heels of Mashiach, chutzpah yaske, brazenness will be proliferate. There'll be a lot of chutzpah. So I think we could check that one off. The yoyker yamir, prices will inflate. That's for sure. Hagefen titein periyav hayayin b'yoyker. There will be produce, but it will be expensive. Umalchus tapich laminos. The government will be heretical. V'ein toichachas, there's no rebuke. Beisvad yel is nus. All kinds of terrible prognostications for the end of days. The Gemara says, V'hagalil yecharav, the Galil will be destroyed. V'hagavlam, gavlan yashum. Some say that refers to the Golan, will be decimate. V'anshei hagvul yisoyvivu me'ir le'ir v'lo yichoynenu. People will encircle from one place to the next, collecting money, and people won't have rachmanos on them. Chokhmas soifrim tisrach, people will despise the wisdom of the sages. Yirei chet yimasu, the God-fearing will be despised. V'ha'ames tia nederas, there will be no truth. And the Mishnah gives a very, very long list of a very bleak time right before the time Mashiach comes. And the Mishnah continues, Pnei Hadar k'pnei Hakelev, the face of the generation will be like the face of a dog. There are many interpretations of that. Haben Eino Mesbayish Me'aviv, even a child will not be embarrassed from his father. So after this whole laundry list of terrible predictions for the period of Ikvasa de Mashicha, the Mishnah says, V'yama yesh lanu lihishayin. So what could we rely on in such terrible times, in such bleak times? So what could we rely on? Don't worry! V'yama yesh lanu lihishayin al avinu shebashamayim. Don't worry. We could always rely on God. Many Rosh Yeshiva ask, Rav Gifter, Rosh Yeshiva of Tels asks, Rav Elchanan, in the Kavitz Ma'amarim asks, you know, the Mishnah ends off, it's very anticlimactic. Here you have all of these terrible things, and the Mishnah, so to speak, ends on a positive note. Don't worry, you can always rely on the Ribbono Shel Olam. When all else fails, just rely on God. Lean on Him. That's anticlimactic. So then I guess it's not so bad after all. We'll just rely on God. Why does the Mishnah, so to speak, end that way? Is this like the good ending? And some even add, you know, right after this, it brings the Brayser of Pinchas ben Yair, that Zrizos Mevi'a Lidei, Zahiros Mevi'a Lidei Zrizos, in order to end on a good note, which would seem to imply that this is not a good ending. V'yama yesh lanu lihishayin alavinu shvat shamayim is maybe not a good ending. Why does the Mishnah end this way? Is it a consolation? There's another interesting phenomenon that we encounter. You know, during the 9 days, whether we like it or not, and whether Rabbanim like it or not, it's pretty ingrained that there are a lot of people making a siyum during the 9 days. People do it. You know, as much as the Pesukim say, don't try to just finish up bedafka to make a siyum during the 9 days just to eat meat, it's quite widespread. A lot of people do it, at least in America. I don't know what's going on over here, but from the amount of meat that they seem to eat over here, it would seem that they probably like to do it. I actually heard from a very big Talmud Chacham that there is a hotel in New York, in the Catskill, Zucker's Hotel, that Rav Moshe, we used to go there in the summer, and during the 9 days, Rav Moshe made a siyum every single day of the 9 days. In fact, Rav Schneur Cutler was there in the hotel with him. And, by the way, you don't rely on stories. I'm just telling you a story. I heard it from a very reliable source. Rav Schneur Cutler was there, and he was a little uncomfortable to have a siyum. He didn't learn the Masechta. Okay, I'm sure Rav Moshe learned it well, but still, you know, maybe it's a kula for Balabatim. So Rav Moshe went over to him. Why are you not eating? He said, I don't know. You know, it's the 9 days. It's like a loophole to... Rav Moshe, no, you have to eat. If you're not going to eat, then the Balabatim are eating at the siyum. They're not going to enjoy their supper. They're going to feel guilty about it. So Rav Moshe made Rav Schneur Cutler eat at a siyum. What's this Indian of making a siyum during the 9 days? It's like it's a legislated loophole. You're not allowed to eat meat. You have to mourn the Beis HaMikdash. But if you make a siyum, then that's a way around it. I mean, usually we say, if you bring in the Meister through the window, you know, if you bring in the Tefuah through the window, it's a loophole that you're not chayv in my... We usually frown upon legislated loopholes. What's the concept of making a siyum in the 9 days? Okay, famous question. Why was the first Beis HaMikdash destroyed? So the Gemara says openly, Gemara Yuma says, the big three, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim. The big three. Mikdash Rishon, Mnei Ma'acharav, Mnei Gimel Dvarim Shehayubai. And yet if you look in the Navi, the Navi Yirmiyah says clearly, the Navi Yirmiyah says a completely different Maisa, it says a different story. Who's the wise man? Who could understand this? Vasher Diber Pi Hashem. Who's the prophet, the Gemara Darshans? Elav Yagida. Who could tell us? Amma of the Haaretz. Why is Yushalayim in ruins? Why is Eretz Yisrael destroyed? Vayoymer Hashem. God said, nobody knows. I know nobody knows. Not the Nevi'im, not the Chachamim, not the Malachi Ashares. The Gemara says, Dabar Zanishal, Lechachamim, Lenevi'im, Lemalachi Ashares. Nobody knew. Not a prophet, not a Chacham, not an angel. Only God Himself. God says, Al Azva Mes Toirasi. They forsook learning. They didn't learn. By the way, I know the Gemara says Shaloi Berchu Batoira, but the literal interpretation of the pasuk is they weren't learning. So how does that fit in with the Gemara? The Gemara says they were murderers. They worshipped idols. Gili Arayas. And the Navi says they didn't learn. So how do you reconcile the pasuk with the Gemara? Besides that, why didn't anybody know? The Gemara says, "Davar zar nishal lechachamim lenaviim malachi hashareis." Nobody knew, only God. Why didn't anybody know? They didn't know that people were serving idols. They didn't know people were committing adultery. They didn't know that people were roitzchim. Well, it's not rocket science. I mean, these are pretty big ones. There might be secretive averos. It's like they didn't have smartphones back then, so maybe people were, you know, that maybe the chachamim didn't know what was going on behind closed doors. But these are big three. These are three big averos. How could it be that nobody knew? There's a famous Yushalmi, a frightening Yushalmi. Probably we all heard it. Yushalmi says in Chagiga, Viter HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Avodah Zarah Agil Arayos al Shvichas Damim V'lai Viter al Avoin Betel Torah or al Ma'as Samba Torah, that Hashem is willing to overlook big averos. Avodah Zarah, idolatry, Hashem says, I'll turn the other way. Turn the other way. Adultery, okay. Murder, but don't waste your time. Bittul Torah, that I can't ignore. That I can't overlook. How do you understand that? I mean, for Avodah Zarah, it's one of the big three, you have to give up your life for that. Gilui Arayos, you have to give up your life. Ritzich, if you commit any of these, you're liable to a death penalty. If somebody has 5 minutes and he whittles it away and he wastes his time, there's no Malkus, there's no Chachi of Misa, it's not Yehareg V'al Yavar. So how could it be that the Ribbono Shel Olam is willing to overlook the big three and he's not willing to overlook Bittul Torah? So the Alshich says, I'll give you a mashal. The Alshich, we know that Rizal said about the Alshich that he was mechavein to the MS in his drashos. So if the Alshich is saying it, this is emes tikka hashkafa. Says the Alshich, the Alshich was meshamish, the Beis Yosef, ad yoyim ha'achron. Even as the Beis Yosef was waning, his power, his strength was waning, he couldn't even sign his name at the end of his life. He asked the Alshich, please, Reb Moshe, sign my name for me. The Alshich was the attendant of the Beis Yosef. And the Alshich says, I'll tell you a story. So there's a king, and the king had a musician, and this musician played such beautiful music that king was so enthralled with this musician that somebody came running to the king and said, King, your musician, he killed somebody. And the king ignored it. And so he killed 100 people. The king wasn't listening. He stole, he did this, he did that, and the king just ignored it. And then they came and they ran and they told the king, by the way, your musician, he banged his hand. You know, he has a cast on his hand. King said, really? Kill him! And he said, King, what was it? You're schizophrenic. He kills people and you don't punish him. And now he hurts his hand and now you're going to punish him? So the king says, listen, I know all those bad things he was doing. I just couldn't bring myself to punish him. I was so enthralled with his music. His music was so enchanting. I was so mesmerized by his music that I just had to ignore all these reports that I heard about him. But the moment that he injured his hand and he couldn't play anymore, so I don't need him anymore, now I'm going to visit punishment upon him for all the terrible averos that he did. Says the Alshech, you know what was so confusing in the time of the Chorban? They had committed Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim for generation after generation after generation. Past Poiked Avon Oves Abanim, Ve'Abnei Banim, Ve'Al Shileshim. And God ignored it. God ignored it. Why did God ignore it? Because they were learning Torah. And Hashem was so taken by the music of Torah. Zmirois Hayu Lichukecha. It was so enchanting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was so captivating. Hashem loved the music of Torah so much that He just ignored all the terrible averos that we were doing. For one generation, for two generations, for three, and four generations, so the Chazal and the Malachim, nobody could comprehend. There's no way. Now all of a sudden, seventh generation, they see the Beis HaMikdash is going up in flames. It's not Avodah Zarah, Gil Arayim, Shvichas Damim. If it was, it would have happened earlier. So they couldn't figure out, after seven generations, what happened now? They weren't serving more idols now. They weren't serving more, doing more adultery now. It's clearly not Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichas Damim. So they couldn't figure it out. So God said, let me explain it to you. Viter HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the big three, v'loy viter al avoin b'tol Torah. I'm punishing them for the big three. But so long as they were involved in Limud HaTorah, I couldn't punish them. Because I'm going to punish them, the music's going to stop. I can't have the music stop. I'm so captivated by the music. I'm so enchanted, mesmerized by the music, that I can't punish them for the big three. That's what they couldn't figure out. Why were they being punished after seven generations? And then Hashem said, let me explain. You see, as soon as they stopped learning in the seventh generation, I can't keep them around anymore. I can't overlook that. Now their hand is injured. They're not playing music anymore. Now I'm going to chop them on the big three. That's the incredible drush of the Alshech. What a powerful thought, you know. It sort of sounds like what they quote in the name of the Zayar. The Zayar Kadosh says, Man de'ishtadel ba'oiraiso lo'y mizboi minei dino klal. Anyone who's involved in learning, God doesn't expect anything from them. That's the Lashon of the Zayah. Do you like this concept? You like this idea? I like the idea, but does this sound MS to you? I mean, here you have a criminal. He's over every avir in the world, and his music is sweet. Could it be such a thing that you could have a Rasha, a Mushchis, violating every Avera in the world, and God loves his Torah? I would say, pal, better that you don't learn. And this is not my opinion. There's a famous tshuva in the Marit. The Marit in Krach Aleph, Simen Kuf, does not want to mention the name of the Alshech, clearly referring to the Alshech. He talks about a certain Chacham who's Doiresh Barabim, that somebody who's involved in Limud HaTorah, his learning is such beautiful music, is such a beautiful composition. It's so enchanting that God will overlook anything. Says the Marit, Rabbi Yonasan Eibershitz says, is Roish Megedoilei HaAchroinim. Rabbi Yaakov Emden said he was Godol HaAchroinim. Rabbi Yosef Mitrani. Shaos HaTshuvas Marit. Chidushiman Masechta Kedushin. He wrote Sofnas Paneach. Says the Marit, whoever says such a drasha, you need to silence them and get them out of here. And I don't care if they're a Rav and a Rabbi or a Gavra Rabba, b'makoyim chilol Hashem, ein cholkim kavod l'Rav. To say such a drasha, to make such an analogy, that somebody who is an Avarian and a Rasha, and they're learning Torah, that's such beautiful, sweet music, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to punish them for the big Averois. Says Marit, and I'll choose a few selected parts to read to you. On the next page, on page 2, the the first paragraph, he says, Nira be'enai, it would appear my Ashazah hadoyresh diber sara al Hashem. Whoever says such a drasha is speaking wrongly about God. V'asa tayrosei plaster. Atu rabbe dahai katol kani ba'agma. V'haloi amru tachlis toira tshuva masim toivim. What do you learn for? What do you learn for? You just learn? The purpose of learning is to elevate yourself, to repent, to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to do good deeds. If someone's learning remains merely academic and it doesn't bring to Maisa, then what's the learning worth? Didn't Reb Chananya ben Tradyoin ask Reb Yossi ben Kisma, am I going to go to Olam Haba? Are you kidding me? Reb Chananya ben Tradyoin, what did he do all day? He gave shir day and night. He taught Torah day and night. And yet he asked, am I going to Olam Haba? And Reb Yossi ben Kisma said, maybe one time you did a mitzvah. Maybe one time you did a mitzvah. The man taught Torah 24 hours a day. Why did Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma say, oh, maybe one time you did a mitzvah? You know why? Because if you just learn and you don't do mitzvahs, it's worthless, says Marit. Doesn't it say in Pirkei Avos, Hakol lefi roiv hamasa? Says the Marit, if a Talmud Chacham only learns Torah and is not involved in Gemilas Chasadim, will not be nitzel, not in Olam Haba, not in Olam Hazeh. The Torah can't just protect you by itself. Says the Marit, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Gemara Shabbos, Amar Aleph Amar Beis, Ein Loi LaHakadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olamai Ela Yira Shamayim. All God cares about is fear of God. Harei She'ein Torah Chashuva L'Klum B'fnei Yira Shamayim. Torah doesn't hold a candle to the fear of God. I'll read to you his words. I'm not going to paraphrase because I couldn't say it. Adaraba mutav shelo yilmoid em ein bo yirah shamayim. If you don't have fear of God, close the Gemara. You're better off not learning, says Marit. So you're telling me that in the times of the first Beis HaMikdash, the Jews were murderers, adulterers. God said, don't sweat it. You're learning the Ketzos and the Nesivos. So hakol b'seder. You're learning Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, so everything's good. As long as you're learning. You like that concept? Says the Marit. Now, I'm not arguing with it. I'm telling you it's wrong. It's chas v'shalom to say such a thing. And Marit says, if you look in the next column, in the second paragraph, halamadita sheharbe tzrichin talmid chacham laseis din v'cheshven amaseim yoyser mishnar b'nei adam. Just the opposite. The more you learn, the more accountable you are for your deeds. The opposite of the Alshech. The Alshich says, just learn and God will cover everything up. Just the opposite. Someone who's not so learned, maybe his misdeeds are somewhat excusable. But someone who's very learned, he's going to be held more accountable for his averos. And therefore, says Marit, you know, put this drasha to rest. Take it out to pasture. This chas v'sham to give such a drasha. Now, he doesn't quote the Alshich by name, so I'm not 100% sure he's referring to the Alshich, but he quotes the drasha of the Alshich word for word. So whether it's the Alshich or somebody who said the same drasha of the Alshich, mitzvah liyashev, the words of the Alshich. You know, at least we're in my yeshiva, there's a concept. When you have a machloikis, you want to minimize the machloikis as much as possible. It's always a very reasonable thing that if you have a machloikis, you want to make the dispute as small as possible. So I saw a sefer. The name of the sefer is Oyel Moshe by a rav in Flatbush, my neck of the woods, Rav Moshe Scheinerman, who quotes Rav Shach. In Rav Shach's sefer, Machsheves Musar, Rav Shach gives the following answer. I looked it up. He doesn't say this. So I called the author, and I'm going to tell you what the author said. Says Rav Shach, you have to understand, the Alshich's words, Emes V'yatziv. But you see, Klal Yisrael is one entity. We're one Chativa Achas. And therefore, Chas V'Shalom to say that if a person commits averos, Hashem loves his learning, and his learning is sweet music to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No. Hashem's not interested in the music of a murderer. However, Klal Yisrael is still one entity. And even if some Jews are acting improperly, but what about the Yidden who are learning and doing mitzvahs and are not doing averos? Their learning is still very, very sweet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The learning of the Yidden who are not doing averos is so sweet, is so enchanting, is so charming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I'm so captivated by their learning, because of their learning I will overlook the averos of the other Yidden who are violating the big three. Never would the Alshich dream of saying that the learning of a Baal Avera is sweet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No. Tachlis Torah Tshuva Masim Toivim. Ein halimud ikar ela hamaisa, says the Maharit. What the Alshich means is that the learning of those Yidden who are not doing averus is so sweet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem says, you know, I can't punish Klal Yisrael, because if I punish them, then the music of the better Yidden will stop. So I looked up Rav Shach. He doesn't say anything about this. There's not one word in any of his svarim about this Alshich. So I called the author. He said, Taka, he made a mistake. But he said he heard Rav Shach say this. He heard from Rav Shach these words. I mean, this would be an incredible concept, that the value of Limud HaTorah and Klal Yisrael, the value of Erlich people learning Torah, literally protects Klal Yisrael, even if there are Jews who are falling to a very terrible level. And even if there are many Jews falling to such a level, the protection, the Shmira Elyona that's provided by Erlecha people learning Torah literally prevents Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Hashem delayed the Chorban one generation, two generations, three generations, four, seven generations, because they were Yidden learning Torah. And the moment the Torah was stopped learning, Hashem nailed them, not for the stopping of the learning. Vitar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to the Alshich, Vitar HaBitul Torah, doesn't mean Hashem's punishing for the Bitul Torah. The Averos, the three big Averos, are still worse. It's just as soon as the music stops, the protection is gone. That's the way Rav Shach purportedly explained the words of the Alshich. You know, in the Sefer Ruach Chaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, it's not a storybook. You know, Rav Chaim Volozhiner doesn't bring stories. As far as I know, this is the only story in either Ruach Chaim or Nefesh HaChaim. Chaim Volozhiner writes that they say about the Taz, that a woman came crying to the Taz, and she said, Adoneinu David, My son is ill. My son is about to die. So Tzad says, what do you want from my life? You know, what do you want me to do about it? So he said, not you. You're learning Torah, right? So I'm not asking you. I want your Torah. See, the Lashon Jews, so he said, Taka, good gezakt. Here's the Torah that I learned today. And the kid was cured. The kid was cured. So you see from here, says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, that the koyach of Esek HaTorah has such a power, has such an ability, not just in the times of Chazal, but even more recent times, and even today, it inherently has that power if we would be able to access it. The Torah has such shmira and such life-giving powers that it could protect from anything. It literally protected from the Churban. In other words, in the third generation, the fourth generation, when God's, when Hashem's patience, so to speak, was about to wear out, and the Churban should have happened, the Limud HaTorah of Klal Yisrael for three generations warded off the Churban. In other words, if you want to know, why did we have Beis HaMikdash for an additional 100 years, 200 years? Limud HaTorah. Meaning the Limud HaTorah literally prevented the Churban. And if the Torah would have continued to have been learned, we never would have had a Churban Beis HaMikdash. Either Avodah Zarah Gilui Yisrael Shuchas Damim. No. Hashem says, the music must go on. The show must continue. So I saw a few interesting things. Again, they're stories. Story is a story. I always say a story is just a story. This is a famous story. In America, there's a famous story. So they came running into MTJ, Rav Moshe Feinstein's yeshiva, and they said, we need to stop. We need to say Tehillim. A Jewish boy was hit by a car. Rav Moshe said, it's impossible. It wasn't a Jewish boy. He said, well, it's impossible. He was holding a yarmulke. He had a yarmulke. Rav Moshe said, it's impossible. We're not saying Tehillim. They said, we saw him with a yarmulke. Rav Moshe said, he was a guy. And sure enough, Rav Moshe was right. So they went to Rav Moshe, are you a Navi? Are you a Baal Ruach HaKodesh? He said, no. I was in the middle of learning a sugya, Aliba de Hilchasa. Rav Moshe said, it's impossible that in the vicinity of the time that I was learning a sugya, Halacha Lamaisa, it's impossible anything would have happened to a Yid. Turns out that it was a guy who hit a kid, stole his yarmulke and ran into the street and was hit by a car. In the biography of the Chazon Ish, they bring down the Chazon Ish said that the Holocaust could not occur until after the demise of Rav Shimon Shkop and Rav Baruch Ber. But as long as those two Gedolim were orangutan in their level of learning, it would have been impossible. Rabbi Chanan asks, you know, we say every morning, Eilu dvarim she'en lam shi'ar, Eilu dvarim she'adam oichal pe'er o'sem ba'ilam hazeh, v'akan kayem es'o'ilam haba. The following things, we get reward in the world to come, but we get some benefits in this world. So the Rambam wants to know, you know, what are these things that we get pe'er o'sem ba'ilam hazeh? So the certain things in this world, we get, you know, side benefits. What things do we get side benefits in this world? So the Rambam writes that all of the items mentioned in the Mishnah are those things that you're not just benefiting God. It's not just Bein Adam LaMakom, it's Bein Adam LaChavero. It's between you and your friend. So if you're doing something good to your friend in this world, so Hashem's going to pay you back in this world as well. If you're just involved in a mitzvah between you and God, so it's between you and God. God will pay you back in His place. But anything that's between you and your friend here, you get reward here. So Rabbi Chanan asks, okay, that's very nice. I'm learning Gemara. Who exactly am I helping by learning Gemara? That's Bein Adam LaMakom. So why am I paid back in this world? Says Rabbi Chanan, the greatest thing you could do for this world, for your friends, for your community, for Klal Yisrael, not just in the world to come, in this world, the greatest life-giving shmira hatava you could do is limud haTorah. When you learn Torah, you're not just—it's not only bein adam lamakayim. it's the greatest Bein Adam L'Chaveroi. Says the Shulchan Aruch that from the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Siman Tav Kuf Samach, they are masakein that you're now to build a house completely plastered and painted, but you need to leave a place by the entrance, one amma by one amma, unpainted, unplastered. Comes the Prima Godim, that's only your house. But in a Beis HaMedrash and a Beis HaKnesses, you're not required to leave over amma by amma. At the Chanukas Habayis of Yeshiva Kol Torah, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said, what's the Pshat in the Prima Godim? Pshat in the Prima Godim is that B'makayim Torah, there is no Chorban. In a realm that Torah is being learned, there's no experience of Chorban. There's no concept of Chorban. There's no destruction. There is some entity of spirituality that is untouchable, that is not harmed by the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, and that's a Makom Torah, and that's Limud HaTorah. In the place of Limud HaTorah, in the Dalet Amos Shel Halacha, the experience and the feeling of Chorban is not prevalent, because there is no Chorban. Klal Yisrael's Limud HaTorah literally warded off the Chorban. Had we learned Torah more, there wouldn't have been a Chorban. Be Makom Torah, there's no Zecher LaMikdash, says Rav Shlomo Zalman. So they say, in the name of the Telzer Rosh Hashiva, I heard Rav Gusman says the same thing. The inyan of making a siyum in the 9 days is not a loophole. It's not the lumdus of the siyum. It's not, really, you're not eating meat. Really, but if you make a siyum, then it becomes a yomtif, and once it becomes a yomtif, so you're tackle out to eat. That's not the lumdus. The lumdus is that if you finish a masechta, and you have now a chachaticha, chashuva of Torah, B'makom Torah, in Chorban. It's not overriding the Avelos, it's in such a situation, there is no Avelos. Says Rav Gifter, this is Oya Menorah, I don't think anybody could have said such a thing. The truth is, I believe Rabbi Chanan says this as well in the Kovetz Mamorim. A frightening thing, this is Oya Menorah. If you look at the Mishnah at the end of Soita, you want to know how bad the end of days are? I'll tell you how bad they are. There's going to be chutzpah. The prices are going to be expensive. The base fat is going to be a makom znos. There's going to be no respect. Pnei abdor, pnei akelev. A kid's not going to be mevuyish b'fnei aviv. And you know what the worst klal of all is? That people are going to throw up their arms and say, there's nothing we could do. I guess we'll have to rely on God. It's a bizayon to say that. It's a klala to say that. You know why it's a klala to say that? We don't have to rely on God, says Rav Gifter. We mean rely on God. Do it yourself. What happened to the Torah? To say, what are we going to rely on? We'll just have to throw in the towel and rely on God? Ein lecha bizayon ha-Torah gedoy lamizu. Ha-achron kasha mikulan. The biggest klala is that when people don't recognize that the source of all bracha and life and shmira and hatava for Klal Yisrael is Limud HaTorah. Don't throw up your arms and say, we put our faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Well, and what happened to the Torah? We don't have a Torah? God told us. Arech yamim bimino, smayla oysher v'kavayt. What happened to it? It's a Torah's chayim. What happened to hikihem chayenu v'arech yaminu? You don't have to rely on God. That's a klala. It's bizayon ha-Torah to say, Ein lanu amin lishana el avinu shema shamayim. I guess I'll have to change the song. It's bizayon ha-Torah to say that. Who would have read the Mishnah that way? But that's what Rav Gifter says. So it's interesting because this whole mahalach is not really working with the lashon of the Gemara, because the Gemara says shaloi berchu b'Torah b'tchila. The Alshich though brings in vitar hakadosh baruch hu avodah zarah gilas shirzom v'loi vitar al avoin bitul Torah. The Gemara doesn't say bitul Torah. The Gemara says shaloi berchu b'Torah b'tchila. But the truth is, many achroinim, when they sort of sum up, bottom line, why was the first Beis HaMikdash destroyed? they say Bittul Torah, the Alshech, the Ramchal also. If you look at number 21, the Ramchal, we know at the end of Masil Sisham, there's a little compendium of the Derech Eitz Chaim of the Ramchal. The Ramchal writes, it's kedai to read inside. The Ramchal writes, from the above, we could understand. There is no remedy for our situation except by learning. And then the Ramchal brings the story that occurred in 1648-1649 from Shamshin Meashtapoli, one of the great old-time Mekubalim. We know during the great decrees, the Khamenitsky pogroms, one of the worst tragic periods in our history. So Rav Shamshon Rosenbaum wanted to know, why is this happening? So he made the Sitra Achra swear. Don't try that at home. He was Mashbia the Sitra Achra. Why is it happening? And the Sitra Achra said, I'll stop it. Just give up Shabbos, give up Mila, give up Torah. And Rav Shamshon Rosenbaum said, no. You will never be mavatel one ois of the Torah. Will not give up one letter of the Torah, despite the gzeros. Listen to the words of the Ramchal. Hare tovin v'teda shekol hakabolai shenasati l'chad heino hein emes. Limud Torah senu hula yetzahara v'lasitra achra sam hamoves. Learning Torah is for the evil inclination and the dark side, poison. You want a poison? Just imagine, you have a yetzahara who's trying to get you. When you open up the gun, you learn that you're pouring cyanide down the throat of the Yetzirah. Ula achenu beis Yisrael husam hachayim. But look what he says. V'hinei tira shechorben beis kodshenu v'sefarteinu v'shegolinu me'artzenu haya ba'avoin bitul Torah. Pella. Bitul Torah? I mean, we're after the second beis HaMikdash. The second beis HaMikdash definitely was not bitul Torah. That's sinas chinam. And then the Ramchal quotes the psukim in Yirmiyah. The psukim at the end of the Torah, Al Azwis, Bres Hashem, Al Kehav Oysam. And he says, Ve'ibne Be'emes, Vitar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'loi Vitar Al Masa Shal Torah, Shenemer Al Azvam Es Torasi. Nimsa, Kol HaKash HaKos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Amo Yisrael, Hu B'Shvil HaTorah. It's all about Limud HaTorah. Maybe we could say, and truth is, the Chassam Sofer says this in the Drashas. The Gemara says at the end of Makos, Rabbi Kiva is walking by the Temple Mount and he sees the foxes coming out of the Temple Mount. And he laughs. Who exactly are these foxes? We can say a Nupshat, don't worry, I know I said a different shir, yeah? Who are these foxes? So the Aruch Laner says that the Gemara says in Yuma that by the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, a lion emerged from the Beis HaMikdash. That lion represented the desire for Avodah Zarah, which destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. And now the lion was leaving to indicate that, okay, Hashem says, I'm going to weaken the desire for Avodah Zarah. This won't happen again. And why was the second Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Gemara says, Sinas Chinam, says the Aruch Laner, that's the fox. The fox coming out of the Har HaBayis, the fox is this cunning, clever animal. He's not going to get you to do this big, terrible thing, but he'll very sneakily help you, convince you to violate a minor thing, which you're not really ready to guard yourself against. That's the fox that was emanating from the Har HaBayis, indicating that Hashem, so to speak, weakened the desire for Sinas Chinam, the same way he weakened the desire for Avodah Zarah after the first Beis HaMikdash. I believe the Chassam Sofer says a different pshat. What does the fox represent in Shas? Where do we ever see a fox? When they came to Rabbi Akiva and they said, Rabbi Akiva, nu, stop giving shir. Rabbi Akiva said, let me give you a mashal. There's a fish in the water and the fox tells the fish, why don't you come take a spatzir with me on the dry land? And the fish says, are you kidding me? If in the water, my place of life, I'm in danger, alachas kama v'kama if I go onto the dry land. Says Rabbi Akiva, if with the Torah, that's kihi chayenu va'orech yameinu, that's our life, I'm in danger. If I'm going to stop learning, alachas kama v'kama. So what does the fox represent? The argument of Bittul Torah. The fox that's emanating from the Har HaBayis is demonstrating what knocked it down? that fox that Rabbi Akiva spoke about. There's part two of the story. I can't tell you for sure that this is a verified story. I know Gedolei Rabbanim who said it over. It appears in Svarim. I have a question on the story. But let me tell you the story regardless. And this story supposedly was said over by Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer. Part two of the story. Rav Shamshon Me'ashapoli then made a She'elas Chaloim. He asked the heavens via a dream, how could we put an end to the pogrom 1648-1649? So the response he got was that if two Gedolei Hadar would give up their lives for Klal Yisrael, the Gezeros would stop. Like Bebechinas, you know, the Misas Tzadikim is Mechaper. So Rav Shamshon Me'ashapoli went to the other Gadol Hadar. Who's the other Gadol Hadar at the time? The Shach. And he said, Shach, here's the deal. We both give up our life, and then Klal Yisrael is spared. And the Shach said, give me a couple days to think about it. And the Shach came back and he said, okay, I'm willing to give up my life. But not yet. I'm not finished writing the Shach yet. Give me 3 months to complete writing the Shach on Shulchan Aruch, and then it's a deal. And sure enough, that's what happened. The Shach completed the Shach on Shulchan Aruch, and he gave up his life, and the Gezeros of 1648-1649 ended. Says Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer, I don't understand, thousands of Yidden had to lose their lives because the Shach needed to finish writing the Shach al HaTorah? Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer said, that's right. The Torah Shebaal Peh is so critical to the future of Klal Yisrael that the Shach had no alternative than to be Mevayer, Yoredeya, and Chosha Mishpat for Klal Yisrael in order to preserve a certain clarity of Torah, even more important than sparing some Yidden. Because the future of Klal Yisrael is more dependent on Lima Torah Shebaal Peh than even the lives of some Jews. It's a very hard story to swallow. It's a very hard story to believe, because the Shach was not Nifter in 1649. Shach was Nifter 14 years later. Until somebody emailed me that there are literally families in Eretz Yisrael today, I believe descendants of Levi Yitzchak Baraditchev, who will not marry into the family of the Shach because of this story. There's a counter Messiah to the story. In other words, that the story is true, but was that the right decision? Was that the right decision? Professor Zalman says the Shach made the decision. Halacha k'shach b'chol makom. Kemat all the Maromakomis we spoke out were from Gedolei Rosh Yeshiva of the last century. Rav Shach, Rav Moshe, Rav Shimon Shkop, Rav Baruch Ber, Rav Elchanan, Rav Lazer Gordon, Rav Gifter. And this is certainly the legacy of the Rosh Yeshiva, that of paramount importance to Klal Yisrael, the future of Klal Yisrael. You know, Rav Simcha Wasserman would say, here at Klal Yisrael, they're in Mitzrayim 410 years. Moshe Rabbeinu never told them they have to lane every Monday and Thursday. And all of a sudden they step out of Mitzrayim. Moshe, oh, they went 3 days without water. Make sure you lane every Monday. You can't let Torah go by without make sure you don't let 3 days go by without Torah. What happened the last 410 years? Answers, the last 410 years, when you're being persecuted by Goyim, sometimes you have reminder who you are. The moment you smell the scent of freedom, you're besakonas nefashas if you go without Torah. Now, Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael is zoicha to some level of freedom that probably in our history we're never zoicha to. So therefore, in our dor, it's even more vital, it's even more important to commit ourselves to Limud HaTorah, but not just regular Limud HaTorah. Like the Maritz says, Tachlis Torah Tshuva Masim Toivim. Certainly, certainly. But recognizing that with an Erlich HaTorah, with a Limud HaTorah Lishma, says Ramchal, that is the Sam Hamaves to the Yetzirah, that literally warded off the Chorbin, and that Bezechusai, we should talk of Izoicha, that Soim HaChamishi, Yiyah LeBeis Yehuda, L'Sasayin, U'L'Simcha, L'Mayadim Toivim, Shol Bizoicha, to the Gula, Shlema, Meher V'Yaminu, Amen.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.